Daniel chapter 11, let me remind you where we were 2 weeks ago, and this is this what we were pointing out, and the reason that's on the map there, or on the board there, is that we were actually looking at Armageddon. Let me read the verses from Daniel. You might want to get Revelation chapter 16 as well, just so I could point out a couple things, and then we will be looking at other verses to show how all of it relates together. So in Daniel chapter 11, beginning in verse 44, the king of the north has had good victory over Egypt and is at the steps of Libya and Ethiopia. But in verse 44 it says, "But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and to utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacle of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. And he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same hour. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one of them that shall be found written in the book," indicating the believing remnant of Israel finally saved. That chapter 12, verse 1 is almost like a summary of the whole conclusion of the last part of the tribulation. But the verses 44 and 45 of Daniel chapter 11 is actually showing us what's taking place, what we call Armageddon, and even more than Armageddon, as we'll look in our verses. Well, the things that are troubling him, notice in verse 44, are out of the east and out of the north. And so he's down in Egypt, and he retreats back to the land of Israel and sets up his last stand. So with that in mind, if you look again at Revelation chapter 16, you have in the sixth vial judgment, the spirits of the unclean spirits go out and gather the armies together. I'll just start reading verse 13. "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together unto the place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." So these unclean spirits, it's interesting that in verse 14, they go out and they got to persuade the kings of the earth to come against the Lord Jesus Christ at his return. And they're able to do that because they're working miracles. And the miracles they're doing are persuading the kings, yeah, okay, we can conquer this one that's coming, because it's going to actually have it reversed, where they're going to think that is Satan coming, and that the Antichrist, he's really Jesus Christ, or the Christ. And so they think they can take the Lord Jesus Christ at his return. So anyhow, they're battled in that place that's called Armageddon. And then the last thing is, I want to point out, in the seventh vial, the angel pours out his vial in verse 17, and there's earthquakes, so great of earthquake. Verse 19, "The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island and every mountain were not found. And there fell upon men great hailstones out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And man blasphemed God because of the plagues of the hail and of the plagues thereof, and the plague thereof was exceeding great." So that's the seventh vial judgments. These are the final judgments of God at the second coming of Jesus Christ, which picks up again. It mentions Babylon. Chapter 17, 18 is about the destruction of Babylon. Chapter 19 is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And, you know, perhaps we'll read that now. Look over chapter 19. in verse 11, because you're going to see these phrases used in the other places we're going to read. It says in verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. And his eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and upon his and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. Now keep that in mind. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Well, his vesture is bloody, theirs is clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he might smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth a winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in judgment, and it's interesting here, he smites the nations. The nations were gathered over there at Armageddon, and even when you got into that seventh vial, the isles of the Gentiles were not found. They're actually, it's like the whole geographic of the geography of the world is going to change at the second coming of Jesus Christ in his judgment. Those earthquakes and all that are taking place. Land masses are going to change. And so it's a great judgment. It's like it was in the days of Noah, that before the flood, there wasn't like rain and there wasn't all the rivers and all that. After God judged in the days of Noah, the whole land mass of the earth changed. The water receding caused mountains to rise up and valleys to go down and oceans to be filled and lakes and all the rest took place because of the judgment of God. And so it will be again at the second coming of Christ and before the new heaven and new earth, in even the millennial age, things are going to be different. But the point is we're looking at Armageddon, the judgment coming. And when it talks about the tidings out of the east and out of the north, we pointed it out last time, is that anyhow, that the look at the verse. I know it's out of the east somewhere there. Oh, that was earlier. Yeah, the way the Euphrates was dried up, that the kings of the east can come across. Anyhow, there's a whole gathering. They're all being gathered at Armageddon. So I want to show you some things, and then we want to look at some verses. So we're familiar with that. It would be nice to separate all the pieces of that, but you can see they're going to come from the east. They're going to come from the north. They're going to come. The Gentiles are going to come. The isles of the Gentiles, which is, you know, could even include America. It's everything coming over. There's going to be a battle at Armageddon, and that's the place it's gathered. Now, Armageddon, do you see where Mount Carmel is on that map? And then you can see where Megiddo is. Armageddon is actually, the first part of that name, Armageddon, actually means mount. And it, you know, it's written in the Greek, but translated from the Hebrew, it would be Mount Megiddo. Well, they're not going to fight on the mountain. The mountain would be Mount Carmel. And then the valley, as you go down from Mount Carmel, is the Valley of Megiddo. And that is a place where many of the battles took place in the days of the kings. When Assyria would attack and all the different battles that took place, they would meet because of the great valley. There's actually just south of the Valley of Megiddo is the Valley of Jezreel. And you hear about that when you read through the kings, about the battles that took place there. So when it says that they gathered them together at the place of Armageddon, it looks like they're being gathered at the Valley of Megiddo for the final conflict, or at least not the final, but the conflict of the nations against Jesus Christ at his return. Now, some people don't take Megiddo to actually be a place other than just a gathering place, because that's what the word means. But it looks like that is going to be the place where they're going to gather to battle. Just give you some idea of that. When we did our trip to Israel, we're actually, that road you see going, that's actually going north and south. Tel Aviv airport. As soon as we got on the bus, we started heading north, but we stopped at this place right here, which is, it's called Haifa there. You see Mount Carmel. And then you, that area there, you see a Megiddo. That is the place where, Mount Carmel is the place where Elijah stood against the 450 prophets of Baal. And what's important for you to see is, I always wondered because Elijah was, he told them, go get water and dump it on. No, they couldn't start the fire. But before he called fire down from heaven, he sent them down to get barrels and barrels of water and dump on the sacrifice, and then he still called fire down from heaven and it lit on fire. Well, they were going through a 3-year drought, so where in the world did they get the water from? Well, you go down Mount Carmel, you got the Mediterranean Sea there. So they're hauling this water up from the Mediterranean Sea and dousing the sacrifice that Elijah was going to call fire down from heaven at. So I just wanted you to see those places because there's Elijah. They got a statue of him. That I just put this in to show you the Mediterranean Sea. That's not really exactly where that picture came from. But now, when we were on that Mount Carmel, you know, they're talking about Elijah, they're talking about the things that are on the mount. I walked over to the edge, and I'm looking out over that valley. That's the Valley of Megiddo. And this was a Christian group of people, and so there's a couple other men standing there. I'm not sure what ministry they had. But I'm looking at that, and I says, wow. I says, you realize that's where Armageddon is? And they're looking at me like, you're crazy. And I'm thinking, you never heard that before? whether they just don't believe it or not, but you can see the road going north and south. I could picture the armies coming south. If you look in a distance, no, it's not even in that map. I got several of these. Look at that huge area for the armies to gather together. There's the east and west one. So they can come from the east, they can come from the north, they can come from the Mediterranean. It's all right there, ready, you know, easy access for the great battle of Armageddon. So that's what's taking place there, and I want you to see those pictures. Now, as they're doing that, come with me to Psalm 75. Because remember, the king of the north was disturbed. He's down in Egypt fighting and having victory, but he hears rumors of tidings out of the east and out of the north. Now, the armies that are coming from the east to fight at Armageddon, he's not worried about them. They don't trouble him. He's glad they're coming to fight over there. But what would be troubling him is some things that are going contrary to what he wanted to see take place. And it starts out, there's something coming out of the north and there's something coming out of the east that's troubling him. Well, the reason I got you, and I'm not there, but in Psalm 75, and this is just one place. You can see the reference here. In Psalm 75, it says in like verse 4, it says, I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift up not thy horn. Lift not up thy your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, and is full of mixture, and is poured out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Now horns are, you know, battles or represent kings that are coming for the battle. And he's warning them that promotion comes not from the east, not from the west, not from the south, but from God. Where's promotion coming? What direction's left? From the north. And it looks like when we start talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I have that one there? I'm a little bit ahead of myself. anyhow, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to start his campaign against those that are gathered there at Armageddon. He's going to come down from the north and fight them at that Valley of Megiddo, and that's where it all begins. By the way, I started looking in the north, and a couple verses just for your own reference. I always thought about in Isaiah chapter 14, Satan has that fivefold goal of what he wants. And he wants to sit in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And when you think about that, especially in Job, where Satan had to go appear before God, that where was he appearing? Where did he have to be judged? The sides of the north. That there is a special place in the north where God judges. And when God comes back, he's going to come back from, when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to come from the north in judgment. And that's kind of what the indication there is in Psalms 75. And there is other places that refer to the north. But come over with me to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah 34, start in verse 1. It says, "Come near, ye nations, to hear and to hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations." You know, the tribulation is not just the Middle East. God's going to judge the world. It's against all nations. He hath, and his fury is upon their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth from the vine, as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven, upon it shall come down, no, behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and unto the people of my curse to judgment." Now that's why that's up there. That little divot up there where I showed you where Mount Carmel is, if the Lord's coming down from the north, he's coming, you know, north of Galilee, comes down, he meets them at Armageddon. If he keeps going south, you see where Idumea is way at the bottom there? He's going to come all the way down, and when he gets to the southern part of Israel, he's going to go east, and he's going to have a judgment in the land of Idumea. Not only that, the next verse, it says, I think it's verse 6, "The word of the Lord is, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with the fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, and the fat of the kidneys and rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea." So not only is he going to have a slaughter in Idumea, but remember, that's the southern part of Israel, but now if you cross over into the eastern side I'm not sure that's the Jordan down there, but it's the Jordan River. Like you're going into Bozrah, and he has a great sacrifice in Bozrah. It says, "And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks and the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust shall be fat with fatness. And for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. The streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become a burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever." What you're seeing there is the lake of fire appearing in that area of Idumea and Bozrah, where he's going to take the ground and turning into burning pitch, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. So the Lord Jesus Christ is coming from the north. When he gets to the south of Israel, he starts heading east over into the eastern side of the Jordan River. And then once he has that sacrifice in Bozrah, he then turns back north. Well, come over to Joel chapter 2. You got Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. And it's Joel chapter 3 is what I want. Joel chapter 3. I'm going to read to you. I'll give you the passages. If you're fast, you can find them. I was going to point this out to you. You might want to see this. Hold your place in Joel. But we talked about the blood that is coming as a result of God's judgment. Isaiah 63. I should have had you turn there when we were in Isaiah. And I want to compare that with Revelation chapter 14. There's a statement that you're probably familiar with. In Isaiah 63, it says, "Who is he that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah?" There you go. Bozrah, he's heading up toward Edom, and he has dyed garments from Bozrah. This is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garment like that that treadeth the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone. Remember the ones behind him, the angels, they come, they're white. The Lord is the one that has the dyed garments that looks like he's trotted out winepress. But it's not a wine press. It's the wine press of the judgment of God. I have trodden the wine press alone, and the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of recompense is come. So the Lord is, he alone is leading the battle. They're just following behind on white horses, and they're clean and white, but he's covered with blood. And there's a reference in Revelation chapter 14 that's interesting with that same thought in mind. Revelation chapter 14, verse 19 says, "And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even to the horse's bridle by the space of 1,600 furlongs." That comes out to 175 miles. Now, if the Lord is having a sacrifice and he goes through Idumea and he goes over to Bozrah, if we would have stayed in the land of Israel, the southern part of Israel to the northern part of Israel is about 175 miles. When it talks about the blood to the horse's bridle, a lot of time people think that there's like the horse, it's what, 6 feet deep in blood? But if he's trampling through, if he's judging, that blood is being splattered up on the horses to the bridle. I mean, the Lord himself sitting on the horse is covered with that blood. So it might not be a river of blood, as a lot of people think about it. It's just that he's trampling, and as you're going through that judgment, that blood is just flowing or sprinkling up and saturating the Lord as he comes back in judgment. But in that process, you see that he turned and he started heading north. That took us to Joel chapter 3. Because once he gets to the north, and I'm not sure where all my pictures are anymore. That's where I want you. Once he gets to the north, when he's north of the Dead Sea, he's going to cross that Jordan River there. You see where Jericho's at. But that's the entrance over to Jerusalem. And so after he goes up and judges on the east side, he turns westward again and heads toward the Jerusalem, coming across where you see Jericho, and he's going to arrive at the Mount of Olives. At that point, this is where Joel chapter 3 verse 2, it says, I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for the heritage, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Now just for time's sake, go over to verse 9. Proclaim ye among the Gentiles, prepare war. Make up the mighty men. Let the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. You know, I hear Christians sing that song. I don't know if there's another place that like this beating the plowshares is after the Lord comes back, they'll turn them back into plowshares, the swords. But what he's telling the nations, you guys, you nations, you're going to fight me? Let the weak ones say he's strong. Let him come. Let him have that boldness. It says, assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen and gather yourselves together around about hither. Cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be weakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge and all the heathen round about. Put ye the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fat overfloweth, and their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, and the Lord shall be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Now, in all that battle, the Lord is coming east. He's at the Mount of Olives, and from the Mount of Olives facing westward, there is the wall around Old Jerusalem there. And remember where the king of the north retreated to when he heard tidings out of the north and out of the east? He went to the glorious land and set up his palace in the glorious land. The last battle with the Antichrist is in Jerusalem. And here the Lord has already judged Armageddon. He's come across Idumea. He's come Bozrah. He went north to Edom. And now he's coming back west. And now the Lord is right near at the Mount of Olives. And here is this judgment. The reason I say all that, we'll talk about those things. I think I got a better picture. See the Valley of Jehoshaphat? Now, it's all blurry, but on the east side is the Mount of Olives. On the west side is the city of Jerusalem. And there's going to be a great battle in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. So that the last stand of the Antichrist and whoever he can gather together after they've already lost Armageddon is going to take place in that Valley of Jehoshaphat there as the Lord is coming. You can see that it's called the Kindred Valley. In fact, you can see the Valley of Hemon. That's where the lake of fire is going to be. Anyhow, you just see how it's all laid out. Now, so that's going to be where the final battle against the Antichrist, and he's going to be destroyed. Now, come with me to Zechariah chapter 14.
Are we going to be at that battle too, the Christians?
No, our place is in heaven. The angels come back with him in battle. And at the resurrection, the souls of the Old Testament saints and kingdom saints will come back. But no, we have a place. We're seated in those heavenly places. Zechariah chapter 14 in verse 1 says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. And I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord, now that took place in the middle of the tribulation, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half toward the south. Now just look over in verse 9. And the Lord shall be the king over all the earth in that day, and there shall be one Lord, and his name one. So all this time the Lord has been riding on that white horse. When he got to the Mount of Olives, and after he destroyed them in the valley of Jehoshaphat, he dismounts from the horse, and his feet stand on the Mount of Olives. And he's going to enter into Jerusalem, but when he stands on the Mount of Olives, it says there's going to be like a fault line that's going to run from the east to the west. The west to the east. And then when that happens, the mountain is going to be split half toward the north, half toward the south. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to walk right through that valley into the temple area. And the reason that's important, back in 1000 AD when the Muslims conquered Jerusalem, they close up the gates are closed. I don't know if you can see there at that tower area. The eastern gate is closed. They bricked it off to stop the Lord Jesus Christ from entering into the temple. They not only bricked it off, you see all those graves? That's where they set up the Muslim cemetery. Now, on the Mount of Olives, you got the Jewish cemetery where they're waiting for resurrection. But the Muslims, they said, well, he can't walk through the unclean. But if God brings, if you're going to split that land and create a valley, and it's split between the north and the south, all those graves, everything they've done is just split out of the way, and the Lord just walks into Jerusalem and he becomes king over all the earth. They think they could stop the Lord from doing that. They don't know who they're up against, because he's going to come back and then set up his kingdom there in Jerusalem, sitting on the throne of David. So that's how the second coming of Christ, the events of the second coming of Christ are going to take place. And Daniel just said it in a couple verses, but we just comparing those other verses, we can see what kind of battle is going to take place, Armageddon, and then the south of Israel, and the bloodbath throughout all of Israel until the Lord comes in and conquers at the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the last stand of the Antichrist, and then now sets up his kingdom. So that's where we are in the book of Daniel as we go through chapter 12, what takes place after this. And we'll continue our study in Daniel chapter 12 next time we come back. I think I got all that in. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for your Bible, which is like a puzzle piece, got different pieces all over. And when we just believe what it says and look at it, we can see how things are going to take place. And we do know, Father, that you will have your will and your way in this earth, and they can reject your Son all they want, but he will come back in vengeance and judgment. And we do pray, Lord, that before that all takes place, that there would be more people that would take opportunity to be saved by believing what your grace has accomplished in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the eternal salvation that's through him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.